And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live today from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rexrode, good morning. Happy Monday. What's going on?
Happy Monday. I'm watching these highlights of like the Spurs game, and they just showed Tim Duncan, and he has like super long hair, and I don't know.
Yeah, the first time I saw that, it really threw me off.
I'm so freaked out right now. I don't know what to do with
that. What's Tim Duncan been doing?
Tim.
He looks kind of fun.
He does. He looks like he's having a blast, yeah. Man. That is wild.
And when he played,
Tim Duncan.
Every time he talked, my takeaway was not, hey, this guy's fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Post-retirement, man. He's just out there living it up. There he is again. They showed him again. He wasn't smiling, though. He looked like old, boring Tim Duncan just with the long hair right there. So good. Other than the Pistons, sucked yesterday, and so I had to like talk my little brother down for like, you know, it's like, dude, it's game one.
Long series.
We'll be okay.
Pour one out for your Dubs over the weekend.
Yeah,
it's a tough one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
and then the Suns went on to get beat by 35 by the Oklahoma City Thunder. So yeah. You probably just spared yourself.
Exactly. It would have been maybe they steal a game somehow because Steph has like a 58-point game, which would have been fun to watch that game, you know, but. Yeah, when Jimmy Butler got hurt, and they were even when he didn't, they were not going to win a championship. And the way Steve Kerr hugged those two guys made me think, yeah, I think Steve Kerr might be about done, which I swear, you know what, I'll save it for a rant. That might be a rant.
Okay.
I might have a Steve Kerr-related rant.
Okay. Maybe today?
Maybe today, sure.
Okay.
Why not? Everybody get excited. Set your clocks for 7:45.
Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Happy Monday. Doing just fine, thanks. It was a solid weekend. Decent weather. Outside all day yesterday.
Same.
Everybody.
That's good.
Neighborhood was out. You know, next door, across the street. Next door, across the street. So, but it was good. It was fun. Got outside. And, had the streaming on. Kept up with some hockey. Mostly hockey.
Yep.
A few minutes of basketball, but mostly hockey. Watched Nashville SC on Saturday. But, yeah.
Big dub, like you said.
Yeah. So, happy Monday. Looking forward to a fun week. Should be beautiful weather, and it's NFL draft week, finally.
Finally.
I actually got excited about that last night going to sleep. I was like, all right, we got NFL draft week on Monday. Get ready for work. Let's do it.
Thank God.
So, yeah. It should be fun.
I know, but it's like it is here, and we're sick of talking about it. But like it is also like, then it's going to be like, so what did we make of the press conference with the third round pick that said nothing? But yeah, I mean, well, you know what? It's fine.
We can dissect how many years together Ward and Jeremiah Love are going to run through the league here over the next few weeks.
Maybe.
See what happens on Thursday.
I think Titans fans would be most happy. Oh, I think more Titans fans would be happy with that scenario than any other, I think.
We will get heavily into the NFL draft today. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 7 o'clock. Corey Curtis from News 2 for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. I was watching some playoff hockey this weekend. I watched the entire game yesterday between the Lightning and the Canadians.
Wild one.
Let me tell you, them two teams are really good. I was watching it and I was like, huh, so this is playoff hockey, huh? Playoff teams that are really, really good. And both of them finished top six in the league, and one of them's going to be home in the first round. Just good stuff. A couple of matchups like that.
Yeah.
In the league this year.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
Okay. Really good stuff. So
how about those Wild, too, huh?
Yeah. Looked pretty good there in game one. Looked pretty good. So Schefter put this out there this morning, and this is it's interesting the way that this is phrased. There's been a lot of smoke about A.J. Brown getting traded from the Philadelphia Eagles. And eventually New England being his landing spot, right? They need a wide receiver. Obviously, there's familiarity between him and Vrabel there. So this is what Schefter put out this morning in his little mailbag at ESPN.com. Says, no matter what happens at this week's draft, an A.J. Brown trade to the Patriots still on the table and is tracking to happen on or after June the 1st, per league sources. The two sides have discussed a deal, neither willing to commit until after June 1st, when Brown's $40 million salary cap charge would be split between this year and next year. So all the elements remain in place to make it happen. Brown to the Patriots is still the likely outcome, just not during draft week, per sources. So it looks like A.J. Brown, according to Schefter, is heading to New England here at some point. They're just waiting until after June 1st to split that cap charge in 2 years.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting. What is – I'm really interested to see, like, what's the trade?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's coming – what are the Patriots sending back for A.J. Brown?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean,
because – see, that's what – so it's like, okay, I get the post-June 1st thing, but this is the week where, right, like you have the things that they might want.
Well, this is the week
they,
you have
do things. They make some fake trade with something else, but AJ's not involved in it? Well, wow, a second-round pick for nothing. Okay.
Well, and it's also like, are you that convinced? I mean, I would assume that they are if it's gotten to this point. But are you that convinced that nobody's going to come up with a better offer than the New England Patriots are between now and whenever you decide to trade A.J. Brown?
That's a good question, too.
You know, there are 31 other teams in the league, man. There's a lot of people that could theoretically be interested in A.J. Brown. I mean, clearly they've been working on this for a while.
Maybe they've gone through that and have figured it out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and they figured out the market. And, from A.J. Brown's perspective, you're going to Drake May and potentially playing – for them and for a coach that you've already played for. So, like, a lot of it makes sense on the A.J. Brown front. It's interesting to me. It's like, well, it's not going to happen this week, but after June 1st, both teams are pretty interested in it. But, like, it's almost like the deal has been made.
Right.
But nobody's reporting it until after June 1st.
Right. It's like a gentleman's agreement that it's going to happen. But, see, why can't they, and this may be displaying my own ignorance, but can't they do a post-June 1st designation? Is it because if the transaction happens before, then the money has
to go
that way, I guess, right?
And this Schefter says this about the Eagles. Says, to be clear, the Eagles are not concerned about adding draft capital for this week's draft. Acquiring additional picks in 2027 and 2028 is more enticing to them.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, yeah, okay.
Do teams hate this draft?
I think so.
Apparently, yeah, teams are down on this draft. But it's interesting, too, because sometimes you hear about the next draft coming, like it's going to be really good, and then later it's like, oh, actually it wasn't as good as we thought it was going to be.
Right.
I mean, certainly, and Mike Borgonzi talked about it last week, they all talk about it, the back half of these drafts now are definitely weakened because guys are like, no, actually I can make more money playing for Clemson than I can be as a six-round pick, so I'm going to play for Clemson next year. I mean, that's still the back of the draft. This year in particular, the top of the draft seems like there's a limited supply of primo players.
This is what Schefter says on this is a big mailbag that Schefter's got here, a lot of stuff in here. This is what he says on Jeremiah Love. Says there are some believe he could go as high as number 3 to Arizona, and no lower than number 7 to Washington, which has been pushing to upgrade its backfield. Growing chatter in league circles that Love is truly in play at the high end of that range with Arizona. Ideally, the Cardinals would like to find a team willing to trade up so they can acquire more picks. And there have already been, quote, exploratory calls, as one source described it.
So the Cardinals might take Jeremiah Love. Or is this a draft week smokescreen?
Well,
that would... Yeah, obviously sometimes fans would be upset about that, but that means you for sure are going to get one of these two edge guys.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at that if I would take
that. That should not make you mad. You know, I mean, maybe Jeremiah Love goes off to Arizona and just takes over the league, but that would guarantee you one of these edge guys.
Yeah. I mean, either way, if the Titans stay at 4, which maybe they don't, maybe they're looking for trade calls, and we'll get into that a little bit later in the hour, but – either way, as we've discussed, if Love's there at 4, I think you're happy with it. If one of those two edge rushers are there at 4, I think you're pretty happy with it. So it should work out pretty well. You know, as long as Mendoza goes number 1, it's probably going to work out pretty well for you if you're the Titans and you stay at number 4. And Mendoza's going to go number 1.
Who tried last week? Someone tried last week to throw, like, Mendoza wasn't going to happen. Who was that?
I don't remember. Gotta this time of year though.
But like someone crazy. Who actually covers the NFL, right? Threw it out there like, well, I don't know. And it's like, God, come on, guys.
He probably already has like the Raiders playbook.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't Burrow like know half the playbook by the time he actually got drafted by Cincinnati? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I got the plays down. We'll be ready to go.
Mendoza and Kirk Cousins are already having like a stepbrother's like sleepover with a bunk bed right now. Let's play Risk again.
I can't wait to watch that quarterback room. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. There was another deal that took place in the NFL over the weekend. How does that affect the draft? How could that affect the Titans? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the NFL draft at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, big move made in the National Football League over the weekend. Dexter Lawrence traded from the New York Giants to the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Bengals give up the number 10 pick in this week's draft in order to do it, which means the Giants are now picking at number 5 and at number 10. They join Kansas City, who's picking at number 9 and at number 29. They had a deal earlier this offseason with the Rams for McDuffie. So they got 2 first-round picks. And, of course, Dallas at 12 and 20, also with 2 first-round picks as well. So a couple teams out there with 2 first-round picks. And I wonder how that affects the Titans in terms of teams that could potentially trade up. I mean, if you're the Giants, the idea of sticking and picking with 2 picks in the top 10 could be pretty intriguing, but you could package those to move up if there's somebody that you really love. We've talked about Dallas. You know, Kansas City is interesting with 2 first-round picks that they have. So, number one, what'd you make of that move, Dexter Lawrence to the Bengals, and the Bengals just saying, yep, here you go, here's our 10th overall pick. And now the Giants with 2 first-round picks joining those other 2 teams that I just mentioned.
Yeah, it's so un-Bengals-like. There are a lot of people that were dunking on the very idea, which I get. Like, this is not something the Bengals would do. They're going to give up a cheap player to spend a lot of, you know, spend a lot of money on an established guy like this. But, hey.
Then they extended him, too, for
yeah,
1 year.
They're paying him.
$28 million.
So, I mean, I don't know. At least it's interesting. Obviously, the Bengals have got to figure something out with their defense. How much does that guy in the middle of the defense, how much of a difference does that make for them? I don't know. They obviously think it makes a huge difference. Maybe it does. Maybe Joe Burrow, if he can stay healthy and all that, won't have to score 40 points to win a football game next year. But, yeah, now you have the Giants with ammo, you know, certainly. If they want to jump in there, and maybe that's part of the plan there for one of those guys that they really have their eyes on, or they just want to get, you know, they're going to end up with 2 really good players.
I would be at this point when you've got 3 teams in this mix here that have 2 first round picks. I'd be stunned if one of them doesn't move up, right?
Yeah.
Like one of them, I think. Whether it's Dallas, who everybody's kind of trying to connect the dots to right now, or now New York with the number 5 and number 10 overall picks. You know, Kansas City, if you're Kansas City, don't you have to feel like you're kind of at the edge of that window right now with Kelce coming back for one more year? Now, I guess you could view that either way if you're Kansas City. You could say, well, yeah, so having 2 first-round picks would really help us there. Or packaging up to get somebody that you think is a huge – needle mover for your team. Like, somebody's going to move up with these 2 first-round picks. The question is, who's it going to be later this week?
Yeah, and the Dallas conversation there is obvious because we all just assume Jerry's going to do something goofy. But someone pointed out, like, they actually haven't even moved up in the draft, I think, in a long time.
Yeah.
Which was surprising. I forget the year, but it's been a long time since they've actually moved up in a draft. So maybe it's – and I feel like it has not been a long time since we've talked about them moving up in a draft. So maybe it's just an annual – if it's not a smokescreen, it's just like
people – They traded up in 2012. That's the last time they did it.
Okay. So there you go. So 14 years. So it's like an annual smokescreen or even just people just – oh, yeah, well, Jerry would probably do it. So, but doesn't mean that they won't again.
Doesn't mean that – Charles said something that – I think is pretty interesting on that standpoint with us, which was basically like, yeah, Jerry Jones knows how old he is, right? Which is like,
yeah,
you know, and they're, you know, trying to capture another Super Bowl, and you know, they've not been overly close to that in 30 years. So I understand like the urgency there. I think that is interesting to keep an eye on. But I also don't think, like, you know, Jerry Jones does a lot of things that I would call strange from time to time. Is he going to be that reckless where he's just like, well, I have no idea how much longer I'm going to be here, so let's just start trading everything to move up, see if we can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, you can, even if that's your approach, you probably still, it's not going to work out for you.
Right.
You know? So, but yeah, no, that is worth keeping in mind, though, the mindset there. By the way, it was also, as Tyler pointed out to us on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, that it was Charles last week who was like, there's some people trying to talk about Mendoza.
Very informative segment with Charles Robinson.
Yes.
Thursday mornings at 8 o'clock.
Yes, which I forgot already. Sorry, Charles.
It's all right.
Sorry, Charlie.
Charlie. We'll go that. Does he respond well to that, or does he respond very unfavorably?
I don't know. I don't know that I've ever called him Charlie. We can try
Let's try it Thursday.
Let's try it on the air.
Let's give it a shot.
See what happens.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ryan to the program. Ryan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Guys, how are y'all?
Good, buddy.
Good.
All right, repeat after me. With the fourth pick in the NFL 2026 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select Jeremiah Love, University of Notre Dame.
Could be. You think that's the way they're going this week?
I think if he's out there, they have to trade down for sure. So, I mean, I agree with you, Joe. Like, Jerry Jones are trading a first-round draft pick in a heartbeat. So, if we can get one of those, you know, get two first-round draft picks. If we don't get Jeremiah Love, then we've hit the lottery.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. Well, the trade-down part of this is going to be interesting. We heard what I just read from Schefter in the last segment, that it looks like Arizona would like to do that. Here's what Jeremy Fowler had to say over the weekend. It says, teams are starting to work the phones. Belief in league circles is that Arizona at number 3 and Tennessee at number 4 are both open to moving back. Many are watching Dallas, as we've discussed, due to obvious defensive needs. Cowboys not overly active on the phones yet, open-minded about potential move, but also comfortable staying put. Next week will bring more clarity, which, thanks, Jeremy, next week is the draft, so it will bring more clarity. But he did put it out there that Arizona at 3, Titans at 4 are both open to moving back. So when you saw that, Joe, what do you make of that this time of year?
Yeah, it's...
What is open? That's always my question. This like open to what? Like open. I'm always open.
Exactly.
Right?
I don't take open as eager. I just sure. No, the phone's here. Like if you want to blow me away, then let's talk.
Right.
You know. So yeah, and it's the way Borgonzi answered it last week. This, I mean, basically the same thing. Which is, I mean, I remember, like, was it J. Robs? Was it like his first presser, I think? Maybe he was like, we are open for business. Yeah. And then they traded number 1 overall, and it was like they want, you know, because he looked at it and it's like, we have our quarterback. We're not drafting Jared Goff. And so we need so many football players.
Probably
right?
Should draft Jared Goff.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's true. But obviously no one's going to do that.
Exactly.
Right? Just like they're not going to draft Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson in 17, you know. After Mariota had a very good year, I might point out.
But hey, they ended up with Derrick Henry when they didn't draft Jared Goff, so that worked out pretty well.
That is true. I think the picks, did the picks result in Henry and Byard, or did they already have that third maybe?
I don't know.
They had an extra.
I think they may have had that third.
They may have had the third, yeah. but Henry and others who were, I mean, it ended up being very good for them. So
yeah.
that was like the, we are open for business. Yes. Please, we want to trade down. That's not what they are now. I think they'll happily take Love or Feldman's got another. He's got another banger today, by the way, with some stuff that we can probably get into. But my God, Feldman, this is like 8,000 words of sources on all these players and stuff. You know, some interesting stuff on these edges and everything like that, which is the strength of the draft. Which I mean, that's not no big surprise. We know, I guess we kind of know that. But interesting to see some of these comments on these guys.
Here's another thing on the trading down or up front if you're one of these teams with two first-round picks. If you take people at their word, and the general consensus from this draft class seems to be that it's not very good, and there are a limited amount of prospects that have like a true first-round grade. Well, to me, if you're the Cowboys and you're picking at 12 and you're picking at 20, or you're Kansas City and you're picking at 9 and you're picking at 29, well, if you have that same evaluation, wouldn't that make you more willing to throw those, you know, a couple of those first-round picks to try to move up?
Yeah.
And on the flip side of that, let's say you're the Titans. Like, if you're the Titans, yeah, I'm open to more picks, but there's probably only so far I'm willing to go down, right? Like, if you share that evaluation.
Yeah.
Right? I think that part of it makes it really interesting. If you take everybody at their word, which seems to be that it's not an overly strong draft class, I could definitely see some of these teams wanting to move up. How far down do you want to move if you're like the Titans or the Cardinals or whoever else would be moving down here?
Yeah, it's always interesting because it's like – I totally hear that, and I agree, and I think that I think that's a guiding force. I also, certain teams, it's like okay, so you're not gonna end up with one of these premium players, but like you actually do, like second and third round grade guys should still be starters for you and
sure,
still totally help you, right? I think it's like, are you sacrificing a great player? If you truly believe that, okay, this is a great player, like I'm confident that this is someone who's going to be one of our best players, going to be like all pro type player. If you're sacrificing that when you move back, well, then no. But like first round grades, second round grades, you know, I mean, I think depending on where you are in your build, you could still make the case to do it.
It's Reaction Monday brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. We'll take your thoughts at 615-737-1025, our phone number. How open should the Titans be to trading down in this year's NFL draft in the first round? We'll take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. If you're watching the video stream, my mic just fell. And my voice followed it while it was going. Pretty good stuff. My game's on today. Game is on.
Is it fixed?
It's fixed, yeah.
Oh, how'd you do that? Usually when it like collapses, now you're screwed.
It just started falling a little bit. I mean, I just made sure my voice followed with it, so it was good.
But I mean, the fact that you got it like...
Oh, yeah, we're all good.
Nice job.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Strong.
Well, you know, spent time outside doing stuff yesterday. I watched a thrilling playoff between Matt Fitzpatrick and Scottie Scheffler in the RBC Heritage. I thought of you the whole time.
That's nice. You know, I did some priming and painting yesterday. My back hurts.
Did
today.
You?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really a bad idea. It's ceiling. Caroline making me do the ceiling. Dude, what are you trying to do to me? It probably doesn't look very good today.
Oh, I got faith in you. I bet it looks great.
Like four coats make this thing work.
615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared and Spring Hill to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning. I'm happy to hear y'all had some good weekend. It was a beautiful weekend, to say the least. But I think if we're talking longevity and maybe not logically, but maybe philosophically, if you could get a trade-back scenario, I think that's best for the Titans roster as a whole due to the lack of talent we have. But just to play counter, because I go back and forth, is also kind of showing me that you really can't, like, since you're not relying on it, do you even have a plan? Like what would have been your plan at four had you have not traded back? So I've just been kind of going through, like, those scenarios because, like, does it really mean that they had a plan if they were going to trade back? And then does that allow them to take a lineman later on, you know, up high, since we still have those holes and those elite players won't be there? So, and I really don't want to see another lineman drafted high. But I don't know. More trauma surrounds the Titans around draft time and Titans fans than jubilation. So I'm just buckling the seatbelt and revving engines. Tighten up.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. I mean, look, you have to – they've got a plan. Like, you can't –
it's like all they do is their job.
Well, beyond that, you have no idea – if a trade is actually going to happen.
Yeah,
you have to have a plan, right?
The plan is you have to be ready for every scenario.
Right.
I'm sure they are.
Look,
Doesn't mean they'll make the right choices, but they have a plan.
The trade back part of this, I'm not saying that I'm totally closed off to it. But, you know, because I understand what Jared said there. Like, the Titans, look at their roster. They need a lot of players. They need elite players. That's mm-hmm. what they need. And if you can find one of those at four, whether that's Jeremiah Love or whether that's David Bailey, like, that to me, is way more attractive than trading back and picking up, like, an extra pick or two. That's just me. I understand the argument of more kicks at the can and, you know, depending on who trades up, like, if it's Dallas at 12 and 20 or, you know, whatever that ends up being, you could walk away with, two or three guys that you feel really good about moving forward here. I would rather end up, when you're already at number four and you're having a premium pick, I'd rather just stay there and pick one of those guys. That's just me. Like, you'd have to really come with an offer that is just extremely strong to me if I was in the decision chair for the Titans.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It just let's look at someone's asked about which one would you prefer. Like if you went like to 9 and 29, that would be that's the Chiefs, right?
That is correct.
So if you went 9 and 29, and you could get Bain at 9, or you could get Mekhi Lemon at 9, and then at 29, whatever. I mean, like, late first round guys. Like, there's a lot. There are players in the late first round. There are players in the second round. Probably a couple in the third round. Like that absolutely could end up being great players in the NFL. Now,
sure.
So if you were able to pick up someone that, again, what's your evaluation of Bain? I mean, I love Mekhi Lemon, but it could be anybody. Maybe even a Tate. Is Tate a possibility at 9? I don't know. But so you could still get like a really good player. I mean, that could be your number one receiver. Bain, I buy into the arm thing, but I also think that he's going to move around and play inside, and he's powerful, and he's going to make plays, and he's going to be a really good player in the NFL, one way or the other. If you get that player and then you get somebody in late first round that you're like you still could end up better off.
You could.
But it's just – so if you're not doing that, then, man, you've got that – that player that you take high has just got to be – this is the case regardless, but it has got to be, again, like a star in this league.
Yeah. Well, and just assuming that the Titans' evaluation of these guys – like if the Titans' evaluation of Jeremiah Love is what we think it is – whereas he is, one of the best two or three football players in the entire draft, then, I mean, that's a pretty tough thing to pass on. If their evaluation of David Bailey is what I think your evaluation and my evaluation of David Bailey is, which is, I mean, this could turn into a 10-plus sack guy a season in the NFL for a long time. I mean, it's just hard for me to pass up, right?
Yeah.
And that's not even counting Reese that's in there that some people are making Micah Parsons comparisons to. So, like, I understand you got to be careful with all that. And, people throw out comparisons all the time, and very rarely do those comparisons stick.
Especially because it's an upside comparison.
Right. So, I understand. But, like, let's say if you're the Titans and it goes Mendoza 1, it goes David Bailey 2 to the Jets, and Arizona either moves out and somebody else moves up, or they sit there and they take an offensive tackle and you've got Reese on the board at 4. Well, if your evaluation is, hey, we think this guy could be the next Micah Parsons, I don't know how you'd pass on that, right? Like, I'm not trading out of that if that's what you think he could be. So some of this is just going to – like, I don't blame Mike Borgonzi. You always say you're – I mean, unless you're with a number one pick and you're sold on a quarterback that you're about to take, you always say that you're open for business. But, deep down, if you gave – Mike Borgonzi some truth serum here. Like, how open is he really? That all depends on their evaluation of these guys at the top. If they think they're superstar players, then you're probably not very open if you're the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's just, how much better do you think those guys at the top are than the guys in the next tier, so to speak? You know, and teams also grade things like that differently. But if you're absolutely in love with one of these guys, then – and you have a chance to take him, I think it's pretty simple. Unless someone just blows you away, you know, with an offer, which I don't think is going to happen. I mean, I think they're going to pick it four. And then it gets into, you know, it gets really interesting too. Like, again, I mentioned this Feldman story, you know, like the, a lot more Reese Bailey comparisons, which is, you know, essentially like Bailey's the safer pick. That's the, you know, it's the same kind of sub, you know, here's one guy who favors Bailey. He's a quote, he's a cleaner fit. Arvell's upside is rare, but his pass rush is from blitzes. He's just raw. You understand why he's a one-year starter. Whereas Bailey is just like, he's ready right now. He's coming in the league right now, and he's getting sacks, you know. So, but, yeah, them. And the Love thing, you know, it's like, if they take Love again, I've said it. I'm not upset with that. That's going to be exciting. That's going to be more fun probably around here. It's going to be fun to see a guy they took who's going to get the ball all the time. But Jeremiah Love, unless he's, again, just an absolutely game-changing player, does he do more for your team than like a, you know, let's say a Bane – and then one of those, you know, a Jordan Tyson or something at the end of the first round, right? Like those two guys.
Yeah.
You know, what does more for your team? Obviously, the answer is just like how good they all are. But like two guys like that who are, if they're going to be difference makers for you, you know, again, I don't know that Bane, especially with what they've done in the interior with this team, I don't know that that would even be, he's one of those guys that to me would be around there, around the bottom, you know, the top 10,
yeah,
and might be a big time player. Yeah, they might look at it and say, I mean, we just went and, you know, got Jeff help inside, and it just doesn't. I don't know, but two players like that of that caliber, you know, the answer is, well, the one guy needs to be, again, he needs to be an absolute one of the top offensive players in the league here in the next few years. like he needs to be like an offensive player of the year candidate, because obviously quarterbacks are the only ones who win MVPs anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's say they ended up trading back, and maybe they don't go Bane, but let's say they go here's one for you. Let's say they go 12-20. Like take the Dallas trade.
Okay.
And they end up with Spencer Fano, offensive tackle at number 12, and they end up with, whether it's, you can throw Concepcion in there at wide receiver, or you can throw an edge rusher like Mezidor or TJ Parker from Clemson, like that. Well, you're talking offensive tackle, edge rusher at 12-20 versus running back at 4. Now, maybe elite running back at 4.
Right.
Like, how do you weigh those two things if you're a Titans fan?
I think the Titans fans who hear that for the most part are like, no.
Well, I understand that, but that's mostly because it's like, oh, my God, please don't take another offensive lineman again, which right. I hear you. I raised my hand on.
Totally. But if that were, again, if it to me, it's unfortunately, it's like, well, if it works out, great. If Fano's like going to be a 10-year starter for you, I love it. And again, then we're going to watch Love in this league, and I know he's going to be very good. But is he going to be, you know, like one of those guys? I don't know. Like Lance points out, 12 of the last 15 Super Bowl winners didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher. And that's fine. I also would say that last year, like, the running back was pretty important as a Super Bowl MVP for the Super Bowl winner. And
the year before, Saquon Barkley ran for 2,000 yards.
The year before, Saquon Barkley, you know, Hurts was like their best player in the Super Bowl, but Barkley is probably as much a reason as any of why they got there. They also had an incredibly talented roster all the way up and down. Their defense was ridiculous, but yeah, I don't. If you took Barkley off that Eagles team, do they win at all? I don't think so.
Probably not. So now I tell you one part about this that is interesting to me, because I agree with you. I think based on our informal Robbie and Rex Road poll here, which is just reacting to the information we see from texters and all this in callers and YouTube commenters and all this other stuff, I think most people want Jeremiah Love, and which is hilarious, because like 2 years ago it was like, oh God, please move on from running backs getting the ball all the time, and now we're all the way back to, yep, Jeremiah Love, get in there.
Yeah. Now, granted, there were a lot of people that were also shedding tears when 22 left, but yes. Yeah, there's people that are down on it, and I get it. Like there's a general anti-running back sentiment, and for the most part, like there are good points made on that side.
I think
but elite players are elite players.
Yeah, I think it's more of a get your quarterback some good skill players.
Yeah. And if he's going to be really good catching the ball downfield, and Notre Dame almost moved him to slot receiver and all that stuff, okay, well, then a guy like Brian Daboll should be able to figure some fun stuff out with that, right?
I thought the Titans should have tried the wheel route with Henry more than they did.
I'm with you.
Let him go high point the ball.
Just let him get that speed. I mean, he may be a slow starter, but by the time he's 20 yards downfield, he's
wide open,
running a 4.4.
Yeah. Just put it over the shoulder. He'll catch it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans and the NFL draft. How open should the Titans be to trading back? Take more of your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. You were talking about maybe trading back and using one of them as an offensive lineman. I think if you took an offensive lineman out and maybe got a rush in and a receiver, whichever order you could get them in, I'd feel better with that than I would get an offensive lineman in the first round.
So the receiver part of it? Yeah. I mean, look.
A receiver and a rush in.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that would be probably the answer that most Titans fans, if you traded back, would feel more comfortable with, is go get a receiver and go get an edge rusher.
Yeah, I threw out the Bane, like Bane Tyson. I don't know. Where's Tyson going to go?
I don't know. I think it depends entirely on how you view his injury history.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be one. Or, there's also edges. Yeah, someone mentioned Mesidor. I mean, there's a lot of edges. It's probably the strength of the draft. And there are a lot of edges that are late first, early second projections, too. So you could be a Lemon, a Tate, around the late, if you do 9 or 12. I don't know that Tate's going to be there. Lemon might be there at 12.
Joe just wants Mekhi Lemon. That's what it is, Ian.
Hey, man.
He wants Mekhi Lemon very badly.
I've been pretty bad, with a lot of my evaluations, but I'm pretty sure this guy's going to be great. I'm just telling you. What have I been right about in recent years? Have I been right about anything?
Sure.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
Can't remember
anything. I'll go back and do some digging, but yeah, I'm sure you have.
We'll do some investigating, some excavating.
I mean, Bryce Young's looking better.
Yeah, Bryce Young is looking better.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
I don't know if he's quite worth number one overall, but he's looking better.
Yeah. I mean, right now, the not sure Cam is worth one overall might look okay. But, by the way, this Feldman, real quick on that front, a quick quote for you. Mendoza, essentially, some of these guys are like, it's Mendoza and everybody else, which I guess isn't that big of a surprise, but there's some kind of not super excited quotes about Simpson, but here's a quote of Mendoza, quote, I think he has the answers to the test. I love Cam Ward, but Fernando's a better prospect than him. There's some physical traits in terms of arm strength and ability to run, where Drake may have a little more, but I feel much better about Fernando than I did about Drake, and I like Drake, end quote. Well, okay, so that's kind of a downer on Cam Ward, but also if you think Fernando's better than Drake May, then
he's probably got number one.
He's probably going to be pretty good. Yeah,
exactly.
If you're right,
yeah.
Unnamed scout.
Exactly. Chris says, forget trading back. We earned that pick. The fans deserve that pick. Titans fans did earn the number four overall pick this year. We've had to suffer through a lot the last couple of years.
So, okay, so, and again, I think the exciting pick there is Love.
Yeah.
So if you're a Titans fan and it's Bailey, or it's two picks and one of them is like a Bane and a receiver.
Yeah.
What excites you more?
It's a good question. I mean,
one of the other players is an offensive player.
That's true. I think it would depend on, like, are there receivers in this draft that Titans fans absolutely love? I haven't heard very many. Like, I think there's some that you could definitely talk yourself into, right? Like, if they traded back and they ended up with Carnell Tate somehow, some way, we'd be talking about, all right, well, Carnell Tate may end up being a pretty good player in the NFL. Yeah,
he could be a number one receiver. Yeah, he could be.
We'll see. But I don't think that there's a receiver out there that I've seen Titans fans just clamoring for, which, by the way, I think adds to the Jeremiah Love stuff. It's not only like how good of a prospect he seems like he is, but it's also like if there was a receiver prospect that was somewhat comparable to him, then I think Titans fans would be like, yeah, just take the receiver.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But there's not. So that's where I think even more of the love infatuation from Titans fans comes from.
It does. Now, if there were a receiver like that, you also would be worried about him even getting to four.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but if somehow it was shaking out like, oh, we know this team's taking an edge. Well, we know this team's taking the quarterback, and then maybe whatever you like, the Cardinals are definitely taking a tackle. That'll be wild if the Cardinals do end up taking Love. That's really not something that I've heard at all. And yeah. So we're hearing it this week. I mean, it seems a little bit fishy.
It does. I've said it though. Like, if you're them, like the Cardinals need everything. They need a quarterback. They need more help at receiver. They need offensive tackle. They could probably use more help at edge rusher. So, like, when you need everything, if they get to three and nobody's trading with them and they say Jeremiah Love's best player on the board, I mean, when you take them at that point, I mean, they've got one thing they do have is a pretty crowded running back room. So it'd be like, Okay, well, I guess here's another running back to throw in the mix. So that's why I don't really buy that's going to happen, because they're already
– That's why they're the Cardinals.
They are the Cardinals.
Colin Shelbyville says, how would you feel about Maui Noah? Maui Noah with a G. Yeah. At four, and Missouri had Zion Young at 35. I'd feel probably better about it than a lot of people, but I don't think people would be very happy with that. And I don't know. It's, again, if the Cardinals are thinking about taking him at three – does that mean he's worth taking it for?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think Zion Young could end up being a really good player.
I like him.
Yeah. He's a
I like him at 35.
Yeah, at 35.
Yeah.
Right. So then you'd address edge, but then you would do no addressing of skill positions in those first two picks.
Which I think would be a tough sell.
It's a tough sell.
A lot of Titans fans.
It's a tough sell to a lot of people. And I get it.
One texter says, I don't like Tate at four, but I do really like him at nine, and then says Scheffler just said that the Cardinals aren't out on Love. Scottie Scheffler, golfer and NFL insider.
Man, he is versatile.
He is a versatile guy.
That guy is all over the place. Yeah. Well,
former convict.
We mentioned, exactly. Terrorizer of police.
Trevor says, Jeremiah Love won't drop the ball as he's crossing the goal line. God, I hope not. If they draft him at four and he ever drops the ball before he crosses the goal line into the end zone, he should be fined $1 million. That should be the deal in his contract. Hold on to the ball running through the end zone.
Yeah, that shouldn't be like a hard ask. You know,
you wouldn't think.
You wouldn't think so.
But it happens every year somewhere.
It does,
which is just amazing to me after all the times that it's happened. I mean, last year obviously, like the Cardinals example was just stunning in that game. Yeah. And by the way, the fact that you won that game, if you're the Titans, and they're picking right in front of you right now, is objectively hilarious. Like, the difference is that moron dropping the ball before going into the end zone. And then
it is
Tyler Lockett recovering a fumble in the end zone that was an interception. There's just a lot of weird stuff happened in that game.
It did. So if they do end up taking Love, I bet you people will revisit that a lot more.
Yeah. Yes.
That would be tough.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us coming up next. We will get into the Titans and the NFL draft with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.